Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Two Foot Attack Podcast, episode 33 of season 3. I think 333. Is that lucky or unlucky? It's 666 is the number, is the unlucky number, so I think we're fine. I think it's episode 33 anyway. I have definitely lost count. But thank you all very much for joining me once again. I hope everyone is well. We're back again speaking about all the action across the footballing world over the last, I mean, technically 7 days, but in reality, it's the weekend. It is obscenely hot in Melbourne. It has been obscenely hot over the last 3 days, ever since basically Friday afternoon, it started getting a little bit hot. And then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, as at the time of recording, it's been 38 basically all the time, which is obscenely hot. Like, it's very hot. Luckily, the sun has been fading in and out of clouds, so it hasn't been piercing hot. It's just been really uncomfortable and just overwhelming at times. But you know what? I'm inside. It's an air-conditioned room. I was going to say studio. It's not. It's just a study that I've put a camera in and put some fucking paintings? Drawings. Decorative art on the wall. So there you go. But yes, I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone is enjoying. We're in the third month of the year already. It's flown by. I know, it's insane. We've only got 2 months left of the Premier League season. 2 months left of the Premier League season. It is coming quick and fast. But I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone is well, as always. I've been full on over the last kind of 3 or so, 4 or so days. So apologies if there's been lack of content or etc. I've just been full on. So with a bunch of different things, unfortunately. But you know what? That's the life you live. That is the life you live when you work and you go to uni and that whole stuff. It is actually a public holiday in Melbourne today. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it's definitely in Melbourne. And normally, unis apparently don't get Labor Day public holiday, but we have this year, I think. I know my uni definitely has. So there you go. Anyways, what are we going to speak about this week? Let's go with the run sheet, which is very bare bones right now, because I feel like this is going to be a little bit more of a discussion podcast. But I really want to delve into the title race, because now I think after the Liverpool City game, which we'll definitely touch on in a little bit of depth soon, now we have a pretty good indication of what the title race is looking like, will look like, could look like, should look like, etc., etc. So we'll be delving deep into that and looking at the storylines of all of that, and looking into the storylines of all of that, as well as some other Premier League chat and some Major League chat as well, of course. Before we kick things off, fit check, and by fit check I mean shirt check. I should have probably started doing this ever since I started wearing the shirts, but it is a retro. I say retro, not really, not extremely retro, but retro enough for it to be considered old, in my opinion. It's about a decade old. It's a Newcastle United home kit, I believe, from there. It might have been their relegation year, actually. I'll quickly do some research, because I don't actually know. This was bought in Perth, when I was in Perth. I'm sure if you're an avid listener, you would know that I did go to Perth. It's a Puma kit, so it's, yeah, okay, so we definitely know here. So I bought it in Perth. It is a retro kind of kit, as I bring up the year very, very quickly. It is a 2013, is it 2013? It is a 2014-2015 home kit, which I think was their relegation year. No, it wasn't. It was 2 years before the relegation year. So this would have been the year that... Who scored the goal? Someone scored the... some Argentinian guy scored the goal, I think. I think. So it was the 2014-2015 Premier League season home kit. Yeah, I'm going to quickly do research. Probably should have done this before the show if I was going to bring it up. Newcastle United. Gutierrez. Was that it? I think that might have been it. It was like... They finished 15th. Pardew and then Carver. Yes, it was almost definitely the season where Gutierrez scored the goal. in the last minute of the game. I'm pretty sure, right? That's definitely what happened, yeah? If I can find it. I'm just gonna assume that's what happened. I'm just gonna assume that's what happened. They finished 15th. Actually, here we go. We've got the fixture list here. No, it wasn't. That would have been the year before. Okay, forgive me. Actually, was it? No. No, it was. It was that year. See, that's ball knowledge. I've just wasted 3 minutes speaking about that. But yeah. Was it Jonas Gutierrez scored the goal against West Ham in the last game of the season. This is that home kit. And I've got Remy Cabella on the back because I bought it in Perth. I thought it was cool. That I've just spent 3 minutes. So if anyone wanted me to speak about the title race, you just had that for 3 minutes. There you go. So yeah, 2014, 2015, Newcastle United top. The year that they survived relegation on the last day. Jonas Gutierrez scoring in the 85th minute at home against West Ham with Remy Cabella on the back. There we go. So yeah, that's the kit. Let's move on. And let's actually crack into the podcast, I think. Let's start with... We'll speak on the Liverpool City game first, and then we'll kind of look at the repercussions of that. So, Liverpool versus City this morning at Anfield in what was... A lot of people were calling it a Premier League kind of decider. I don't necessarily think it was that, because I think there's definitely a long way to go in the season. There's a long way to go in the season, and a lot of teams can drop points, because we've seen it's a very competitive Premier League season already. Liverpool thought they took the lead quite early on in the game, but he was ruled out for offside. And then not long after that, 5 minutes after that, in fact, a very, very interesting delivery from Kevin De Bruyne from a corner was met at the near post by John Stones, who flicked it home and gave Man City the lead. Relatively 50-50 game up until the very, very start of the second half. Edison makes a mistake. Well, it wasn't really Edison's mistake. I think that's pretty harsh to call it Edison's mistake. It was Ake who made the poor pass back. Edison couldn't get there. Absolutely wiped out Darwin Nunez. Penalty, McAllister steps up, scores 1-1. And then a very 50-50 game from then on in. Ended all square. A couple of interesting moments from that game. I think City hit the post a couple of times. If you look at the XG... Liverpool obviously have a plus 1.26 XG, or a plus 1.14 XG. Jesus Christ. So essentially a plus 1.2 XG or a plus 1.1 XG. You can probably account half of that to the penalty and probably the other half for a little bit more of their chances. I would say they probably had more chances. Did City have the better quality chances? Probably. It was a pretty 50-50 game. I think the draw in the end was the right and fair result. I don't necessarily think that either team can go and say that they deserve to win that game from a totality perspective. I think it was a 50-50 game that can be attributed. Well, that can kind of be... was on a knife's edge of who would have won if either team had taken their chances. If Liverpool had taken their chances, they obviously would have won. If City had taken their chances, they would have won. Both teams had more than enough chances to win the game, but neither of them took them. So I think a draw in the end is a fair result. And I also think it kind of sets up... It's the best result for the neutral, I think. It sets up this remaining, 10 games of the season in perfect nick. 10 games left. Arsenal on 64 points, currently sit top. Liverpool on 64 points, a second, a 7-goal difference behind, and Manchester City, 1 point behind the top two with a 11-goal difference behind Arsenal. And the way that we've seen results fall this season, I think the goal difference is easily catch-upable, if that makes sense. I think City can catch up an 11-goal difference within 3 weeks if results fall their way. So I don't really think that a lot of stress can be had onto that. All it takes is City winning a game 6-0. And, I don't know what their run-in is, but they've got Palace, they've got Luton. They've got Luton at home. And that's got 6 or 7-0 written all over it in reality. They've got Forest as well. So they've got a couple of games where they can really catch up their goal difference. They've got Wolves, I think, as well later on, who are good and do have a little wood over City, but it could be one of those games, etc. So, yeah, a couple of moments from this game. The penalty shout towards the end of the game. I don't think it's a penalty. It's weird, right? Because it studs up. and it starts up and it does connect him in the body. But I would have likened this kind of situation to almost in a similar vein to how high foots are kind of, to how high foots and high boots are adjudicated. Was it head too low or foot too high? In this instance, was it foot going into body or was it body going into the foot? And I think it was, I can't remember whose, I think Fontmob will definitely say, because I can't remember whose, it was Gakpo's, was it? No, it was Salah. So it was Salah who got in the way of Ake, in my opinion. I don't know how close it was to being given. It, of course, did go to a VAR check. I'm content with that not being given because I think it was more player going into foot in regards to like a full stamp into the chest. And I think you do have to give the benefit of the doubt there. It's the 96th minute in a very big Premier League game. You don't want to try and be bold and make a decision in that instance when it could be wrong and very, and probably is wrong if you do make it. So definitely content with that not being given. But then again, if it was given, I'd probably sit here and say, you know what, I see it. So it's one of those 50-50 ones, which I don't think a lot of people can hold too much of a grudge that it wasn't given. Although what I would say is that if there was a conspiracy to win Liverpool the Premier League, that decision probably gets given. So yeah, that would be a decision. If that decision was, if there was a conspiracy for Liverpool to win the Premier League, then that decision would have been given. So I think that can, especially ever since the Tottenham incident earlier on in the season, I'm pretty sure that we can kind of put that kind of conversation and issue to bed. There is no, there is nothing. There is no kind of issue, and there is no conspiracy or kind of governance kind of getting in the way of football and the morality and the integrity, etc. Because if there was, that's given every single day of the week, and it wasn't. So unless you think that the Premier League are smart enough to do some fucking reverse psychology on everyone, then I guess fair enough, but it's not that. And another interesting point that I obviously that happened during the game was the Haaland versus Van Dijk 1-on-1. In isolation, like in reality, in isolation, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot. Like in isolation, it's just a striker and a defender going 1-on-1. The defender does well to show him onto the outside. The striker gets a fine shot away and it's saved by the keeper. But I think what it almost represents and the kind of the other meanings behind that is like one of the best strikers, if not the best striker in the world, going up against one of, if not the best centre halves in the world, 1-on-1, no other players near them. At Anfield, with kind of the Premier League title on the line, if you want to say that it is. I just thought it was a really kind of cool moment that, like, that if this title race becomes a movie, I feel like that 1-on-1 becomes a scene in itself, and that has a lot of kind of symbolic nature about it. I just thought it was a pretty cool moment that, of all players on the pitch at that time, it's Haaland and it's Van Dijk. I think Van Dijk did well to kind of back off and show him onto the outside. I thought Haaland did well to get a shot off that was pretty powerful, and that wasn't shit, basically. So, yeah, no, it was just a pretty cool moment, which I thought was kind of symbolic a little bit of the game. So yeah, I don't think anyone kind of came off kind of wrong or came off badly apart from that. Yeah, just a pretty cool kind of moment in my eyes. Because I love I'm a nerd when it comes to football symbolism and football kind of, and meanings and, kind of connotations and all this shit. That's why I love the movie Goal and all this stuff, because it kind of, it's football but told in a Hollywood story, which I think is awesome. And I don't think that, I think live sport can tell Hollywood stories better than Hollywood can tell Hollywood stories. So I just find that pretty ironic in my, not ironic, but I find that pretty cool. It was kind of like the two men in the arena, the two men in the country that could kind of decide the title race in a sense. The poster boys of the two best Premier League teams over the last half a decade, going like two Adonises. It's a pretty cool kind of, you've got the perfect Man City player, you've got the perfect Liverpool player. They both represent everything, like Van Dijk being this late blooming kind of put down centre back who's perfect in every way, but still always doubted, and he's like the man of the people, where you've got Haaland, who is just this robot, ruthlessly efficient, goal, 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 which kind of symbolises Man City's approach to the Premier League over the last kind of decade and a half, whereas Van Dijk being that risk-taking kind of underdog who has developed himself into being one of the best in the world kind of symbolises Liverpool as well, that the way that they've kind of progressed up the Premier League table throughout the last half a decade. So it's just a pretty cool kind of symbolism of both teams, and the fact that it ended in a stalemate as well, I think symbolises the relationship or the competition aspect of both City and Liverpool, because despite City having all the Premier League titles, I feel like Liverpool do definitely have a leg to stand on, if that makes sense. Yeah, I'm just a big nerd when it comes to football narratives, so that is something that I definitely found cool about this game and that moment as well. But I think now it's I think that this game obviously ended 1-1 with the permutations of what that meant as well. What does this mean for the title race? Like I said, Arsenal and Liverpool on equal points. Arsenal have a +7 goal difference ahead of Liverpool. City 1 point behind both of them, and Arsenal have a +11 goal difference on them. Where does it go from here? I'm really happy that I think it will be a three-horse race heading into the last 10 games of the season. Liverpool have only lost 2 games. They've lost the most, but they've also drawn the most games. Arsenal have won the most games out of all of them. So they've also got the most goal difference. They've scored the most goals and they've conceded the least. So Arsenal probably in pole position right now. If we look at the fixtures, Arsenal probably have a little bit more tougher fixtures. I know City do have a pretty tough run home as well, but Arsenal's isn't necessarily easy. They've got City in their next game. They've got Brighton, Villa, Wolves, Tottenham, United. Everton as well will always be tough. So they've got a couple of really, really tough games. So their run home's not easy. Liverpool's run home is not easy either. They've got Brighton, they've got United. They've got Fulham away, which will be tough. West Ham away, which will be tough. They've got Tottenham, Villa, Wolves as well. And then we went through Man City's run home as well. They've got Arsenal coming up next on the 1st of April. Arsenal coming up next on the 1st of April, then Villa, Palace, they've got Tottenham, Wolves, Fulham and West Ham. So a lot of those teams playing relatively similar teams as well in there. It will be very, very interesting to see what happens. Obviously, we experienced it last year with the Arsenal title race and that how that kind of fell relatively late on into the season, how they just didn't have the minerals in them to go all the way and to do it. The season before that obviously was Liverpool's and City's neck and neck season, which I thought was just awesome. Well, I think the podcast I did on that was about an hour and a half long, because it was just the most magical final day of football I think you'll ever see, which was awesome. I really don't know where this falls. I would not be surprised in the slightest if Liverpool are able to get it done, if Arsenal are able to get it done, or if City were able to get it done, because I really don't know. If you're going to point a gun to my head and say pick, my gut struggles to go against Manchester City. It really does. Just because it's ruthless. It's ruthless, and eventually it does run out. I know it does run out. It will always run out, and they'll always slide back down the table eventually, right? Because football at the top level, within the top six, is very competitive right now. However, I think that they might have one more year in them. But then again, Arsenal's story is there, like it's right there for it to happen right now, because it's always been Liverpool and it's always been Liverpool and City, and it's almost a story of them battling out, them kind of knocking each other down, punching each other down a peg or two, and then Arsenal kind of sneak attack from behind and then reach for the title and grab it kind of behind their back. You can say that. And then Liverpool have experienced this kind of three horse race before, Suarez, Sterling, Sturridge season, where they had it in their hands and they dropped it, and City kind of snuck in and took it off them. Where Chelsea were battling in that title race as well. Arsenal were also pretty competitive that season, so they've got experience there. They still are waiting for that league title in front of their home fans, which I think will be, which I think means a lot to them as a club and as a community and as a city. Their final game of the year is at home, which I think will help them. Arsenal's is, I think, at home as well, if I'm not mistaken, it is. And I think City do play away. Oh, no, they play at home. So all three teams are at home. It could be a super, super final day if things go the way that they... I don't want to say should go. Could go, maybe, is probably the better adjective to the, or is the better kind of description of how it could happen, in a sense. I don't know. I really couldn't tell you right now. All three teams are so competitive. And look, at the end, look, I'm not going to sit here and say... I think when we spoke about two seasons ago, when we spoke about the City and Liverpool kind of title race, there was a big chance that from March onwards that neither team were going to drop points. And even last year, I thought Arsenal and City were going to drop points at the very end. I can see a lot of teams... I can see all three teams dropping points throughout this last 10 games. It's not going to be a case of as long as every team wins their games, they're going to stay on course, because I don't think that'll happen. I think it's going to be the team that can maintain the highest floor, if that makes sense. Because I don't think we're in a position now when it comes to the title where the upper echelon, in a sense, will define the season. It's not the top-end talent that will define the season. It is when Arsenal don't play well, or when Liverpool don't play well, or when City don't play well, can they still get results? If Liverpool can play very poorly and still get a point or still scrape a win, that will win them the league. Not their ability to put six past Forest or put six past Wolves or whatever. Because I think all three teams are capable of that. I don't know if all three teams are capable of necessarily scraping results. Arsenal showed it against Brentford, have it scoring. Liverpool have shown it as well over the last couple of weeks, probably before this year game, before the cup final, they were able to scrape through results, especially with their injury worries as well. City probably have the ability to do that, but probably don't show it often enough, because they're ruthless enough to get the job done more often than not, so they don't need to be in those positions. But yeah, it's a really, really interesting, really interesting. Arsenal, if you're going to talk about who plays the best football, I think at their best, I mean, Arsenal have shown, especially recent times, that their best football is fucking good. Like, good. Liverpool, probably due to their injury worries, haven't been able to play their best recently. City are just ruthless enough to get the job done, regardless of how well they play. So I think that will probably hold them in good stead. Absolute gun to my head, if I had to pick, and I really, really am struggling, I would go Arsenal, Liverpool, City, which is probably the consensus, I would say. But if that flips on its head and it turns out to be Arsenal, Liverpool, City, 1-3, then there you go. If it's City, Liverpool, if it's Arsenal, City, Liverpool, if it's whatever it is, I wouldn't be shocked either. But yeah, it's really tricky. It's really tricky because all four teams are capable of... All four teams, at their best, are capable of beating any side in the world, in my opinion, right? So I don't necessarily think the title's going to be decided on who can play the best. It will be decided on when the teams are playing poorly and when they aren't having a good performance, whether or not they can still pick up points and whether or not they can still pick up results, because the Premier League is very, very competitive. That, like, West Ham can easily pick up points against all three of these teams. Wolves can easily pick up points against all three of these teams. Everton can pick up points against all three of these teams. So whoever can avoid the banana skins, whoever can avoid the slip-ups, that will decide the Premier League. Like, I didn't take too much stock into this City versus Liverpool game, because I didn't think games like this would decide the Premier League. When Liverpool versus Wolves or when City versus Fulham, if they can win those games and win them comfortably, or even if they aren't playing well and still win those games, that will show me who's in best shape to win the Premier League, in my opinion. And right now, if I had to say, I think City are just ruthless enough to just get the job done. They are serial winners, and I don't think Arsenal are there yet, and I think Liverpool, I just don't know. There is a 1% doubt in my mind about Liverpool that I don't have with City, which means I probably have to back City. But I can very easily see Liverpool winning it as well. I can very easily see Arsenal winning it as well, because Arsenal, especially over recent times, have shown that they've played the best football. So it's one of those things where we can sit here in 3 weeks and Arsenal are going to be the best team in best place to win the league. We're going to sit here 3 weeks after that. It's going to be City. And then on the final day, Liverpool could only need a point in that win the league. So we don't really know. But I hope it's close. That's all I want. I hope it's close, because I think we deserve a close Premier League, in my opinion. So, yeah, that is kind of what I think of that. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm actually kind of happy that Chelsea aren't a part of this, because I can kind of sit back and watch it from a neutral perspective and not really have a dog in the fight. But yeah, that's probably just my kind of two cents on that title race, because it's going to be tight. It's going to be very, very tight, and hopefully it goes down to the final day for the spectacle of it all. Let's hope it goes down to the final day. Fingers crossed it does go down to the last day, though, because that we need that. That would be good for the pod as well, just to really embrace it all. Anything other? Any other Premier League kind of chatting? Chelsea play tomorrow against Newcastle, funnily enough. So I think wearing this top probably is not the best idea in hindsight. Yeah, probably. I didn't think of that. did not think of that. I just looked at the fixture now. And we play Newcastle at home. And I can't remember the last time we actually beat them. Oh, we beat them last year, 2022. So two calendar years ago. Oh, the Havertz goal. Yeah, I remember that. That was mad. That touch and that finish. Yeah, good strike that. But regardless, Tottenham won 4-0 against Villa. All four goals in the second half, two in the last minute. Ange and his boys are just ticking along. I haven't really spoken about Ange too often recently. But he's just ticking along. The kind of limelight has faded. The expectations have faded. He's won 16 games, drawn 5, lost 6, which is a fucking good record, right, if we're being honest. Plus 20 goal difference. He's in the Europa League places as things stand. He's only 2 points away from top four with a game in hand. He should make European football. Are they? They aren't in any cups, are they? No, they're not. So they've just got the league to worry about. Unless something catastrophic happens, it's going to be a successful season for Ange. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I told you so, but I told you so. And the season's not done yet, but like even still, he has done a lot of good with his squad. A lot of good with his squad. They've had a bunch of injuries as well. They had basically their fully fit kind of team playing last night, and you could tell with just how good they were playing. Van de Ven has slotted back in well. Van de Ven has slotted back in well, although he did come off with an injury, so hopefully that's not serious. Madison has slotted back in well after his injury. Madison has slotted back in well after his injury, I should say. So yeah, like he's got a month and a bit of football under his belt after that, and he's back. Yeah, like Tottenham are good, and of course they're going to be good because Ange is a great manager, and I don't know why people were so anti him. I do kind of get it, because you look at Scottish League managers who have come to the Premier League in the past and see how poorly that they've done, like Gerrard being one, like, and a bunch of different examples. The golfing class is obviously different, but I mean, just take one look at his resume, listen to one of his interviews. Like he's a student of the game. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. And just because he's Australian doesn't mean that he can't coach. Just because he coached in the Scottish League and the Japanese League and the Australian League, and just because he coached the Australian national team and the under 20s doesn't mean he can't coach. Like, He's a more than capable football manager, and we've spoken about him from day one on this podcast about just how good he is and just how good he can get to. And we'll see how far he can take Spurs. I really don't like the fact that he's taking Spurs to, he's making Spurs good, because I really like the fact that Spurs aren't good. But, yeah, I mean, he's just good. Like, he just is good. He just is more than good enough. So, yeah, there we go. Ange doing the business. For them, like I said, Arsenal got that result, that much-needed result in the last couple of minutes. Manchester United with two penalties against Everton to secure a 2-0 win. A good friend of mine won some money on that game, so good on Nick if he's watching. And yeah, two Stonewall penalties as well, by the way. I don't know what Everton were trying to do, but yeah, they were two absolutely Stonewall penalties, which was quite funny. But I think they had chances in that game. Like, they had a couple of chances. They probably could have scored and maybe made that game a little bit different, but they didn't. So it was a 2-0 win. And United, just ticking along. That was their first win in the league since middle of Feb. They had two losses in a row. But look, they're not that bad. Like, they've had a good run of form. Like, they've only lost two games since the start of the year in all comps. So, like, they're doing all right. Like, they're doing fine. They got a smack bang zero goal difference, 47 points. They're eight points off the top four. So, they're doing fine. Okay, let's move to Australia. Let's speak about to A-League, shall we? And I want to kick things off by speaking about an additional point to what I spoke about last week when it comes to the football, kind of the over-policing and stuff. Adelaide, I want to spread some good news. Adelaide hosted Melbourne Victory on the weekend. Victory won 2-1. It was great. Irukunda scored a good goal, gave it to the Victory supporters. Bruno scored a tap in, if we're being honest. Bruno scored a tap in, and then he scored a penalty. So Victory won 2-1, great. But how it's amazing what can happen. It is amazing what can happen when fans start. It's amazing what can happen when fans, staff, the stadium, the A-League, the governance of the game are all working in cooperation, are all respecting of each other and the rules and the security, and things can go off without a hitch. From all reports, I haven't heard of anything bad happening in Adelaide over the weekend. Adelaide and Victory have had a very, very kind of tumultuous past. Obviously, Victory fans were banned from Hindmarsh Stadium before the season. That decision got reversed. They go there, I think, for the first time this season, I'm pretty sure, and nothing happens. Because when you treat football fans like humans, and when you treat them like people going to enjoy a sport passionately and partisanly, then you get respect back and everything works fine. Like, I don't think anything bad happened. The limbs when Victory went 1-0 up were very, very good and some of the best that we've seen so far this season, as our Victory away limbs in Adelaide more often than not are always good. So it's just, it's almost like, guys, this is the blueprint. If everyone is treated with respect, things can go off without a hitch and it's fine. We saw Western Sydney come out and do a statement that really, really aggressively backing their own supporters, which was great, which was very good to see. It's not that bad when people are treated with respect. It's not that bad. I don't know the fallout. I don't know the repercussions of if the police have had any repercussions, if the security have had any repercussions based on what happened last week. The scenes that happened last week. The scenes on Friday night in the Western United, Western Sydney game were bad. I don't know the attendance figures for that, but it was pretty poor. And I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and blame them, right? Because they were treated with disgust last week, so I don't know why they'd bother rocking up. There was only 5,000 there, which is pretty disappointing, because Friday night, Western Sydney, RBB, full house, that probably gets at least 9, probably even 10K, right? So, a bit of a shame, but it is what it is. Hopefully now we can move forward, and hopefully now we can start to make amends, because I think the APL have done an average job. The Western Sydney have done a good job, and I think the blueprint or the scenes in Adelaide where everything was fine and people are treated with respect and it all goes well, plus with what Western Sydney were able to do with their fans and back them fully, hopefully now we can start to turn that again and really have the full support of the APL to get this right, because we're on borrowed times. Like, we are on borrowed times. And we need to fix this ASAP. Like ASAP. It's not good right now by any means. It's not perfect right now by any means. But I mean, some fans are missing out on some good quality goals. Like Milanovic's goal on the weekend for Western Sydney was fucking stunning. It was a glorious goal. First touch, bang, right foot, bottom corner, glorious, with a 1-2 before it, was stunning. Western United coming back 3 goals in the last kind of half an hour, 20 minutes. To only secure their 5th win of the season was great. I mean, even over the weekend as well, City played a pretty good game against Wellington. Perth played a great game against Newcastle 2-2. I think we should have Perth playing all possible games. All possible home games for Perth should be played on a Saturday night at 9:45 Eastern time, because just shit happens. Shit happens at that time slot, which just doesn't happen any other time slot. 2 goals from Taggart in the 72nd and 90th minute to get them to point. That puts them back within kind of the finals hunt. They're only 7 points away with the game in hand on a couple of teams. So there you go. Like I said, Victory in Adelaide played a pretty good game in front of what was only 8,000 people, but like it was still a good game with a good atmosphere. Like the league is so very close to breaking through. And when you have good football, it helps with that. And yeah, it was so very close. But the A-League had some great things happening over the weekend. So there's a match tomorrow night, Melbourne City versus Western Sydney. So that should probably be a good game on paper. Victory play Western United on Thursday night at Amy Park. The dumbest scheduling possible, because across the road 90,000 people are going to go watch the AFL, including myself. Sorry, Victory, but Carlton a little bit higher on my priority scale right now. So dumb scheduling, but no, well, it is what it is. I like Newcastle play Adelaide, which I think has a lot of kind of whoever loses that pretty much can't play finals, so a lot rides on that. Wellington and Sydney will probably play a pretty good game on Saturday afternoon. So the A-League is in a good place on the field at the moment. Shame off-field can't quite get their shit together right now. But like I said, the league is in a pretty good space. Like the league table is in a pretty competitive space right now. City aren't in finals positions right now, but they're only 2 points away. And can they kind of rebound based off what happened to them a couple of weeks ago and last week, where they are losing form a little bit? Victory only 6 points off Wellington and Central Coast, the two teams at the top of the tree right now with 40 points. Sydney have had a kind of a second half of the season resurgence after a poor start to the year. A lot of people thought Newcastle were going to be good this year. They've fallen off. Adelaide as well, based off last season, they were really good. Now they aren't so good. So a lot of storylines, a lot of good football, a lot of interesting things that are happening across the league, and I'm sure we're going to get to a very, very competitive final series, which will always be good as well. Fingers crossed Victory can pull their fucking finger out of their ass and do something this season, because last night was, over the weekend, was a good start, because normally we lose those games, and we didn't, or we draw those games, and we didn't. So good stuff, Vuck. Well done. Okay. Is that it? I think that is for this episode of the Two Foot Attack podcast. Chelsea versus Newcastle tonight, so that result would have already happened by the time this podcast comes out. Fingers crossed we win. Of course, fingers crossed we win. We probably won't, but you never know. Newcastle aren't actually amazing right now, so hopefully we win. Champions League football back, Arsenal versus Porto. Arsenal 1-0 down on aggregate. It might not actually be the worst thing in the world if they lose that game, if we're being in all honesty, because they probably should prioritise the league. But I think Arsenal should win at home. They should win at home. I'll go to the 3-1 win at home. So that sees them through. Barca versus Napoli. Barca should win that at home. I'll go 2-0. Atletico versus Inter. I'll go Inter 1-0. And then Dortmund versus PSV. So that means Inter go through. Dortmund versus PSV, I think Dortmund will win 2-0. And then Dortmund will go 3-3-1 on aggregate. A bunch of Europa League games in which I think Rangers will beat Benfica at home. AC Milan will win away from home against Slavia Prague. Marseille will add on to their 4-0 win. West Ham will be a draw between West Ham and Freiburg, and Freiburg will advance. Atalanta will beat Sporting at home. Leverkusen will beat Karabag at home. Brighton will beat Roma, but not enough to overcome the 4-0 deficit. And Liverpool should dispatch of Slavia Prague or Sparta Prague in comfortable fashion. There you go. And then, of course, the A-League happening. Chelsea play Leicester on Sunday night, which will be good. Do we play? Yeah, no, we play them in the Cup. which will be great. But yes, thank you all very much for watching another episode of the Two Footed Tackle podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Stick around. All that good stuff does mean more than the world when you do. If this is your first episode, welcome. If this is your 100th, thank you very much for sticking around once again. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube on Two Foot Attack Podcast. Notification bell, share it around. Would mean more than the world. All the audio platforms as well, Two Foot Attack Podcast. Two Foot Attack Podcast. On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor, socials, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter as well. All the links are in the YouTube description, as well as my socials as well if you want to follow me. Stay well, stay safe. See you guys next week, and goodbye.